18 years since I've spoken from Psalm 92. As I was sharing with, I guess it was my wife, after 50 years of preaching, there's not much I haven't preached on at one time or another. Perhaps a few verses or maybe a few chapters. But God's Word continues to be rich and very relevant. So Psalm 92, let us bow in prayer. Father, once again with thanksgiving, we open your Word and to recognize your love letter to mankind and your love letter individually to each one of us here today as we open it. Father, you are so good to think of us. Yes, what is man? But you are mindful. And so here today as we come together, and I assume every one of us going to find some food later today and some fellowship, I trust, as well, the lifting up of Jesus Christ. But how good to be able to begin this day here in your house. And so as we look at the Word, feed our minds, feed our hearts, encourage us, challenge us, and allow us then to give the praise that is due you as we would close out this service, this part of this day. Thank you for everyone able to be with us. We are mindful of several who are ill, hospitalized, or rehabbing. Thank you, Lord God, that you would be near to them in a special way also. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. It is that day, isn't it? Thanksgiving. But why are we here? Why are you here specifically? Did you feel, I better be here, I have to be here? Maybe you were brought and you had no choice. And so you're here just the same. Along for the ride, along for the experience to see what happens. I want us to fully enter into what America once saw as extremely important. The desire, the need, and a heart base to meet together and give praise to God who had blessed them so richly. We still have that opportunity. God only knows where America is going to wind up. In the years ahead, it seems like it's not necessarily the years ahead. It's the months ahead. It's the weeks ahead. Every day, something new can be happening. And challenges are out there as we think of the worldwide direction and what is happening. Thanksgiving goes back 403 years ago. I don't believe any one of us was here then. Although if you're born again, you were with Jesus over 2,000 years ago, back on the cross, somehow, miraculously. But 403 years ago, it was 1620, when Governor Bradford of Plymouth Plantation arrived. He came sailing in on the Mayflower, about 92 feet long, the Mayflower. 102 passengers on board. It took them 66 days across the ocean from Holland, moving on until they came here to New England. 66 days. When we sailed to Europe, to Norway, it used to be somewhere, I want to say, 6 or 7 days, depending on the currents and the wind. But we went by boat in the old days. Whoever thought of going by plane to Europe? But 66 days worth, the 102 passengers plus crew. One teen died on board until they arrived safely in America. Governor Bradford was 30 years old. He would serve as the governor of Plymouth Colony for 30 years. He lived to the age of 67. He was an English Puritan separatist, away from the state land church, a separatist, a Puritan. He was the one who stabilized this first permanent colony in New England. In 1621, there was a bountiful harvest, and so they set aside this religious holy day, this religious holiday. Today, reading a quote from someone, quote, secularism of our present culture here in America may have turned the focus more to feasting, football, and family gathering. I'm hoping to feast later. I've seen some of the food prepared. I think I stayed away from trying any of it. I was offered some, tempted by some here in the kitchen earlier this morning to try something, but I resisted. It wasn't easy. But feasting I hope to do, and football I'll probably watch a little bit. John Mark is not concerned about the Packers playing the Lions, but I grew up with the Packers and the Lions. That used to be the traditional football game on Thanksgiving Day years ago, and then they allowed other teams to enter into that holiday. So feasting and football are part of it. And I'm thankful for the family that we have together, a number of our grandkids here, and of course, loved ones as well, and most of you together with some. But Many of us separated from many of our family. For some of you, you'll be together with family who do not know Jesus Christ. And may God just use you and bless you as you come together. So I have no problems with feasting, football, or family. But Thanksgiving was set aside for God. And to take the time to praise and thank Him. In 1789, President George Washington set aside the fourth Thursday of November to recognize, I quote, the role of Providence in creating the new United States and the new federal constitution. President George Washington. Thomas Jefferson came along as president, I believe the third president of the United States, and he was more concerned about states' rights, and so he decided rather than have this one day for the whole country, let each state decide what they want to do. In 1863, I quote, in the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, we are going to set aside a day for the purpose of solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledging the gracious gifts of the Most High God. That was Abraham Lincoln who set aside that day. And in 1941, the Day of Thanksgiving was ratified by Congress to be a unified day, one day for the whole country, Thanksgiving, the fourth Thursday of November every year. Again, set aside Thanksgiving to God, not to a higher power, not to whatever God you want to call upon, but it was set aside, America set it aside to worship the one and only God. In order to do that this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 92. Notice with me first that it is good to give thanks and praise. It starts out, let me read the Psalm. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with a ten-stringed lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Yes, again, it is good to give thanks and praise. It is good from God's perspective. From God's perspective, yes, he commands that we come and praise and thank him. God commands that of us. He deserves it, though, for who he is and for what he has done. And we'll look at some of that in a moment. But he deserves that praise and that thanks. And more than that, he delights in it. We are told he delights. You'll often hear me pray on Sunday morning as we gather to worship together. May we bring joy to him. Church is not about us. What's in it for me? I have to get something out of it. The music, the worship, or the sermon has to be, or whatever it is. It's not about me. It's to bring joy to him, to acknowledge again that he is our God. Again, it is good from God's perspective, but it is also good for us. It's too easy. We all know that. It's too easy to become self-centered. It's all about me and what's in it for me. And it's my feelings, and it's my ego, my pride. It's me. Or if it's beyond me, maybe it's my spouse, my family, whatever. But no, it's to be about him. We are created for his purposes. Going through Ephesians chapter 1 in the first chapter, three times we are told it is for the praise of his glory. For the praise of his glory. For the praise of his glory. We come to praise him for his glorious work, among other things, within us. It frees us emotionally to praise. It's too easy to let the fear of man stifle us. What will they think? What does God think? What is he looking from us? And he wants us again to come with gratitude, as we shall share again and again, and as we ought to know I don't deserve this from you, God. You're so good, so good, so blessed. Again, as we focus on God, our trials, problems, worries, and they can all be there. And for many of you, I know enough about your life right now. Trials, problems, worries, but they get into proper perspective when we learn to, we almost sang it this morning, count your blessings and name them one by one, or sometimes I sing ton by ton because they are so many in so many ways. But everything comes into perspective when we realize who He is, who we are in light of who He is and what He has done, and as we acknowledge that and give Him the praise. It was Martin Luther who said, come, come let us sing a psalm and drive the devil away. I remind you, Satan is not happy with a Thanksgiving day to the Lord where we begin with praise to Him. But come, let us sing a psalm and drive the devil away. I don't know how many of you know Henry Frost. Henry Frost was a friend of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor, pioneer missionary to China, the establishment of China Inland Mission. Henry Frost became the first head of the National China Inland Mission. He said this, nothing so pleases God in connection with our prayer as praise. And nothing so blesses the man who prays as the praise which he offers. I got a great blessing once in China in this connection. I had received a sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an island inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try Thanksgiving. I did. And the moment every shadow was gone, not to return. Yes, the psalmist was right. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Yeah, you give a testimony today and all of your problems will disappear. Not necessarily, not really. But as your heart overflows with thanksgiving and you learn to be thankful for what you have, not for what you don't have, you'll start to realize once again, God, those things hurt, those things are real, but ultimately they don't matter. 100 years from now, a year from now, or whatever, when we're out of here, it's not going to matter whatsoever. In the meantime, I have God with me in the midst of everything. It is good for God. It is good for us to give praise and thanks. And so we used to sing the old chorus from Scripture, I put on my garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. I put on the garment of praise and thanksgiving. Or from an old hymn, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart, the guitar, tune my heart to sing thy praise. It is good to give thanks and praise. Okay, that's the beginning. Now specifically, praise Him for His attributes. And there are four of them listed here. We're going to quickly go through them. Four attributes here. First, His loving kindness. You see that in verse 2. I turn my Bible to verse 2 and I read, to declare, to let others know, to announce, to trumpet your loving kindness. Here's that beautiful word, hesed. Mercy and grace wrapped together. The English can't really explain hesed. Loving kindness is the New American Standard Translation. But when you think of grace, grace is God giving me all that I do not deserve. Mercy, God holding back all that I do deserve. You deserve something from God. I deserve something. We deserve hell. Wow. But mercy withholds it. And grace proffers to one salvation and blessings upon blessings as you count and realize how good we have it. Here in America, in the midst of everything that's going wrong in America right now, we still have it so much better. Why are people trying to get into America? Yeah, okay, so there are terrorists who want to destroy America. But so many come here because where they come from, they don't want to live there anymore. America, America. My parents came, as you know, as immigrants. My mother came because the streets of America were paved with gold. She found gold, all right, not the metallic kind of gold, but she found again a place where she could raise a family and that we could grow to hear and serve this Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, His loving kindness, so good to us. Secondly, his faithfulness. Then you look at verse 2, to declare your love and kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. I turn back 2 pages to Psalm 89 and the first 2 verses of Psalm 89. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. How well do we do that? To all generations, your faithfulness. With my mouth I open it wide to declare it. For I have said, verse 2, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. In the heavens, from his throne. We'll come to that in a moment. But to recognize again, he is with us. And has promised never to leave us when we are born again, when we are his child. Nothing can separate us. Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from him. Our emotions that try at times. God, I don't feel like you're hearing me. I don't feel like you're there for me right now. Too easy to believe my emotions rather than to believe his word. God has promised. God has promised. He's faithful. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth or of time, depending on translation there. Again, his faithfulness. He is reliable. You can count on him. He is faithful in the good times, and he is faithful in the tough or the bad times, as we would see it from a human perspective. Yes, praise him this morning for his loving kindness, for his faithfulness, for his uprightness. I turn to verse 15. Verse 15, his uprightness. To declare that the Lord is upright. There is no unrighteousness in him. He is pure. He is perfect in every way. He is never unfair. Never. What he allows or does in our lives or in this world is always right. To say, God, you're not fair to me. Again, what do we deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve nothing good from him. And he gives us, and he gives us, and he gives us. There's another old song. He giveth and giveth and giveth. I can say it in Norwegian too. I learned it there. But he giveth again and again and again and again. That's our God and his goodness to us. In an ugly, sinful world, with things not always going the way we would like them. And that's an understatement. No, never unfair. We need to see this. Though we may not always understand what's happening. He doesn't tell us to understand everything that he is doing. We cannot comprehend everything he is doing. Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways. What man can understand what God is about? But to know God is to know that he is upright. Job's wife. Remember, dear sweet husband going through all of this, curse God and die. What a good, godly companion. Curse God and die. And Job, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And then later, though he slay me, yet I will hope in God. And the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You allowed me to have the good for a time. And now you've brought tough times on me. But blessed be your name. Because he is upright in all that he does. God is right in everything. Whether we understand it or not. Whether we accept it or not. And if we don't accept it, we bring bitterness, hurt, doubts, and everything else into our life that do not help us in our growth. Finally, here, his sovereignty. You see that in verse 8, his sovereignty. But you, O Lord, are on high. Forever. On high, your throne in the heavens. And again, there's not a literal throne. God is spirit. He doesn't sit on a throne. He has no body to do so. Jesus is at the Father, the Spirit's right hand. We do know that. But again, it speaks of his sovereignty. That God is in total control of everything. The world situation, Ukraine, Russia, God is in control. Gaza, the latest I haven't heard, as we see the war going on there. And innocents, quote unquote, we're all sinful, but innocents suffering, they're not combatants in the affair. Again, God is in total control. Your situation, your safety, your health, God is in control. Your family, your kids, your grandkids, whatever, God is in full control. That is what the Bible declares about God. He is sovereign over all. And you've heard me say it, you who come here regularly, many times. It's always for your good. Even his discipline. And it's always for His glory. Those are the two things that matter most to Him. His glory. He will not share it with anyone or anything. His glory. And for our good, because He loves us that much. He brings adversity into our lives. He brings negative answers. It's an answer to your prayer. Sometimes it's no. Maybe too often for some of us. But it's for your good. It's for my good. And to understand that. Yes, we need to be at peace with the sovereignty of God. Then, why should I worry? Why should I fret? Yes, it's there. I'm concerned. And I'm learning to bring it to you because you are in control. With thankfulness, Philippians chapter 4, with thankfulness, with praise, the peace of God will walk sentry duty, walk guard duty over your emotions, your mind as well. Yes, we are to praise Him for His attributes, His loving kindness, His faithfulness, His uprightness, His sovereignty. And one final point here this morning, thank Him for His acts. First of all, they should bring wonder and joy, His acts. Look at verse 4. For You, O Lord, have made me glad by what You have done. I will sing for joy at the works of Your hands. The works of Your hands, His creation. I turn to Psalm 8 in verses 3 and 4. It's also found in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. But Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, I'm not a Jody Wenger and I'm not a Susie Horgan with their telescopes and they're watching the stars and telling you that there's going to be an eclipse or this or that. That has never been me, to my fault probably. But I came across this. The astronomers say that our Milky Way has no less than 100 billion stars, and He put them there Himself, God did, when He created. 100 billion stars. There are 30 million other galaxies. What? Some larger, some smaller than our own. And then there's this certain star, and I can't pronounce it, but Betelgeuse or something like that. Thank you very much. Good. That's 2, 3, 4 of you. You are more into stars than I am. But it's a superstar. It is 642.5 light years from Earth. 642.5 light years from Earth. Its diameter is 215 million miles. 215 million miles of one star. Wow. That would cause me to wonder. And joy as I see again, for the heavens declare the majesty, the glory of God. Then you look at what is man? What is man? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, that's verse 3, Psalm 8, the moon and the stars which You have ordained. What is man? Little puny me, that You should take thought of a me and a you and the Son of Man that You care for Him. What are we? And yet He does, doesn't He? And so His works, His actions of creation, His creation of man, His creation of a relationship that He gives to us. It's no wonder Paul, as he comes to the end of Romans chapter 11, shares this. Romans 11, verse 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable, I can't, are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, who has first given to Him that it might be back, paid back to Him again. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh God, You alone are God. There's no one like You. There's nothing like You. Wonder and joy. Yes, it should bring joy and wonder to us. Because He extends to a me and a you relationship with Him. A personal relationship with God. Unbelievable to think about. And yet I trust You know the reality of it. Again, His acts should bring wonder and joy. His acts that allows you to see Him at work. Assuming you do. Because you look at verse 6. I'm back in Psalm 92. And I'm looking at verse 6. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. The unbeliever does not see, does not acknowledge. Again, it's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. The fool does not acknowledge that God is there. I don't know how many of you know, H.A. Ironside, Dr. Ironside. Dr. Ironside, I think it's Henry Allen Ironside. He lived from 1876. He died in 1951. I was 5 years old when he died. But well-known Bible teacher, he was pastor of Moody Bible Church. And some of you remember Moody Bible Church was where I had Diana with me from our first date. We went on a Sunday night after she sang with the Trinity Girls Chorus in another church. Then Moody used to have Sunday night sing, and they'd be on the radio. And we would go there our first night and then out to get something to eat, ice cream or something afterwards. But there in Chicago, Moody Bible Church, he was the pastor. And not when we came in 71, I guess it was, or maybe earlier. But in any case, Dr. Ironside was in a restaurant. The restaurant was crowded. And a gentleman came in and he said, excuse me, would it be all right if I sat at your table with you? Again, it was a crowded restaurant. And Dr. Ironside said, sure, sit down. The food was in front of Dr. Ironside and he put his head down like this. And then he put his head up. And he said, are you all right? Do you have a headache? Ironside said, no. Is the food not any good? Because he had already started. Or he had been there and looking at it, smelling it, whatever. No, there's nothing wrong with the food. What are you doing? Well, he said, I'm giving thanks to God. Oh, you're one of those fanatics. Let me tell you something. I work. The sweat of my hands, I work, I make money, I buy the food, I eat, and I don't have to thank anyone. Dr. Ironside's response was, well, you're a lot like my dog. He just digs right in, doesn't stop to pray. You're a lot like my dog. How many people, how often, maybe us at times, fail to give thanks? Praise God for a number of you who have given testimony. If someone has noticed what you did and come able to speak to you, well, are you a Christian? Yeah, to the glory of God. We give thanks again. We give thanks always. We are allowed to see Him at work. And God is the one who has created. And God is the one who has generated and given salvation. And we are His forever children. So His actions should bring joy and wonder. They allow us to see God at work. Thirdly, God will settle accounts with the non-saved. Verse 7. When the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished. Doesn't that sound like Psalm 73? I became envious of them. They were fat, in a good sense, because they had a lot to eat, and we were thin because we were doing without food. And so I became envious of them. How come they seemed to have it so good? How come when I became a Christian, more troubles came into my life than before? Well, I trust you understand about spiritual warfare and some of the things that are there, as well as God's testing and trying. And remember, His job is not to just get us to heaven, but it is to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that takes more than fine sandpaper. It takes more than hard. Sometimes you need a rasp to rip this out of us because we're so far different from what we should be as the image of Jesus Christ. And so again, God is going to settle accounts. Remember, they may seem to flourish now, but except they be born again. Well, you remember the rich man, and was it Lazarus in Hades, the place of the dead, Sheol? Remember? Remember? Oh. Their time is coming. God will settle the score one day with all of His enemies. I'm not an enemy of God. I'm not a John Newton that shook my fist at God and said, strike me dead with lightning right now. No. Either you are for me or against me. And unless you're on fire for God, born again, Jesus living within you, watch out. Watch out. But God will settle, even with your enemies, my enemies, those who've done you wrong, those who've hurt you, whatever. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. But except they be saved and born again, God will settle with them. The Word of God makes that very clear, the destiny that's coming. On the other hand, God will provide for the believers, those who are saved. Verses 10 to 12. But you, God, have exalted my horn. Again, an ox with his horns, the strength. You will strengthen me and you will refresh me. I have been anointed with fresh oil, verse 10. My eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a flourish, the beauty of the palm tree. The cedars in Lebanon, those were the trees that were cut down and brought by Hiram for the building of David's house and for the building of the temple. Straight and tall and strong cedar trees. Yes. Again, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. God says, I'll bless you and use you. Some of us getting older, our minds aren't as quick and we get forgetful. Our bodies are, falling apart in different ways. But God still blesses and uses if we are willing to give whatever we have. Whatever we have, no matter how old we are. And it's so special to hear some of you boys and girls on Sunday nights as you choose hymns. I get shocked sometimes at the songs you pick. Some of them are expected, but some of them, wow, theologically, some of the songs you kids pick really encourages my soul. And even today, you're allowed to give testimony and praise if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, yes, we are to give thanks and praise because it's good for God. It's good for us. Praise Him for His attributes as we looked at the four of them there. And to thank Him for His actions as He continues to work. Conclusion, verse 15. Who declareth the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. Oh, may we praise Him. She was a servant in a home. Fulton Ousler, I'm not sure, I believe was a preacher, noticed every time she sat down to eat, she was a black lady from the South, she would always begin her meal with, much obliged, Lord, much obliged, Lord. And he found she was always having something to be thankful for. Again, she shared this. Why do you always thank? Why do you always say? Why? Much obliged, Lord. Much obliged, Lord. Well, sure, we get our victuals, but it makes everything taste better to be grateful. Looking for good things is the kind of game an old preacher taught me to play, she said. Take this morning. I woke up and thought, now this is her, not me, but I woke up and thought, what's there to praise God for today? You know what? I couldn't think of a thing. And then from the kitchen came the most delicious odor that ever tickled my nose. Coffee. Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee, I said. And much obliged, too, for the smell of it. Some of you can relate. Most of you probably can. Many years later, she was dying. And Ousler went to visit her and to see. And I wonder if she's still thankful. What does she have to say? I read, seeing her in much pain, he wondered if he could still find something to be grateful, or if she could still find something to be grateful for. Just then she opened her eyes, and she saw him, and the others gathered around. She folded her hands and said with a smile, much obliged, Lord, for such fine friends. Not her pain, not at all, for such fine friends. Count your blessings. It is good to give praise to the Lord. Amen.